With me to Matthew chapter 11. I want to read verse 12 here. It says this: in the days of John the Baptist, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, the title of the message this morning is "The Violent Take It by Force," just as I read it here in verse 12. The violent take it by force. Now, this week we had instruction class, and I was appointed the class, the lesson on non-resistance. And as I was teaching that class, my mind went to a verse, "The violent take it by force." And I pondered the differences in the picture that is painted in these two verses. The first verse being Matthew 5:39, which was part of our text for the lesson. "But this I say, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Non-resistance. I was intrigued by that span of thought and the scope of that. And this morning, I believe we do well in teaching the doctrine of non-resistance, and we apply this teaching to our lives and live it out. So when we're suddenly confronted by a crisis in our lives, we're coming out at the right place many times. I believe that. Certainly I'm open to your input into my life where I'm not. I had an opportunity not so long ago to be suddenly confronted with that kind of a situation where I needed to accept the false accusations that were thrown, and see someone else not do so well with false accusations that were thrown at him. Had to do with a situation next door to us. I'd allowed some goose hunters to go into a field, which is our property across the road from us, and upset a neighbor very much, which promptly, there was a call into the state police making it sound like there was armed men on the loose. And next thing you know, we had quite a response coming back to Juniata Valley Road. Neighbors knocking on my door. And at any rate, at the end of the day, no one had broken any laws. I was sorry that I had created that I hadn't informed. At any rate, as the accusations were being thrown around, I realized that I was able to accept them. And to say that I'm sorry, I should have talked with you all, should have notified you, should have been more considerate of you all. I'm sorry for that. But the police officer responded quite differently. And as his voice went up and as his anger started to come out, I said to him, "Sir," I said, why don't you just leave it go? He said, "I don't need to leave it go." You're right, he doesn't. You're right, he doesn't. At any rate, situation's been remedied and our relationship is okay and we continue on as neighbors. Sorry, that little side trail was simply just to make this point that I appreciate and believe very much in what Jesus taught us about not resisting evil and all the examples he gave of that and his life that lived up to it and the words of the apostles that confirmed it and the way they lived up to it. But here you have this verse that brings us this other thought. And so we must never forget that while we rightly refrain ourselves in the face of all of false accusation and abuse to ourselves personally, yet here in this verse, we're being told to apply force. We are to go on the offensive. We're to take up the sword. We're supposed to cut a path straight into the kingdom of God. That's what this verse is telling us. The violent take it by force. And so the context here in Matthew 11 is of Jesus speaking, and he had been in conversation with some of the religious rulers. He had been in conversation with his own disciples, commissioning them to go out to preach. And after he had given them this commission to go and teach, Jesus himself, took to the road to travel through villages and teaching there, revealing who he was and where he fits in. And you'll see here in verse 7, John's disciples came to him, John the Baptist, some of those who were still following John the Baptist, and he was in prison. And they came to him with some questions. Are you really the Christ? And Jesus answered their questions in his own way. And then in verse 7 he says, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out to see in the wilderness? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he, of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face." So John is the messenger before the face of God and Christ, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Jesus revealed that what brought the people out to see John was his message. And the opportunity that was opened up to enter into the kingdom of God personally. The people didn't go out to see some great sight in the wilderness. They didn't go out to see a great man. They didn't go out to see, but there was what they went out to see. What the masses were moved by was because there was a man who was preaching a message that was opening a door for them to enter into the kingdom of God. And the people seized upon it. They pursued after it. And the religious rulers of the day, the religious elite of the day, did not enter into this door that was opening because they did not see an open door. The reason they didn't see an open door, the reason they didn't seize upon this and take it violently is because they saw themselves as the door to God. And they had developed much religion around what that door was and who it was open to. And so they were not able to seize upon this. But there was a people, there was a movement and a hunger of people who were going out and they were seizing upon this opportunity. And they were moving past the religious world that was around them. This opportunity is only realized by those who will press into it, who will press into it. This dispensation of grace is available to all who will yet today take it by force, pursue after it. And I want to look at some points that maybe will help us understand what that feels like and looks like today. And so the question, I think, maybe the burden of the message is this: are we taking this opportunity by force this morning? Are we taking this opportunity by force today? Is this church taking the opportunity by force, seizing upon it? Or have we become softened and weakened in our conquest? Jesus said it this way in Luke 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Presseth into it. Any pressing going on here today? Was there any pressing this past week? Was there? I'm going to be making 5 points. I have 5 points I'd like to make, and they all start with this statement. We take the kingdom of God by force when, and I'd like to look at 5 points this morning and try to draw our minds together in some practical ways in which we're going to make this real for our lives today. We take the kingdom of God by force when we, number one, confront the battle of the mind. I moved sort of quickly through all that was happening there in the time of Christ. You can make a message out of that in and of itself. But I don't intend to do that. I just want to understand that that's what was happening. There was a change. Jesus made this statement. He's made it other places, like, for instance, pressing into it, the same kind of thought. And so how do we go about that today? What's it going to look like? What is that? What does that entail for me today? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, that with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that it exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Confronting the battle of the mind. We could go to verses like found in Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think of these things. Now, has anyone come up short on that list this week in your mind? I know that I have. Confronting the battle of the mind. We take the kingdom of God by force when we confront the battle of our minds. These verses that I read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, these five verses, the last two in particular are speaking to this subject, taking control of our minds. And we recognize that there is some captivity. There is some work that needs to be done in my mind, in your mind, for us to enter into the obedience of Christ. We have thoughts that travel through our minds that are not healthy. They're not beneficial. In fact, they can be destructive. They're that powerful. And these verses are bringing that out. We could go to Romans 8, verse 31 and 32 and 33. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? Thinking about the mind, thinking about what we think about, thinking about how we view ourselves before God, thinking about who God is and how he has justified us and what he has put in motion for you and for me. I believe that the mind, and that's why I made it my first point, is such a key part of us taking this kingdom by force. One of those areas is doubt and fear. They're some of the enemy's greatest tools, and he throws them in our face. You know what fear is, don't you? You know what it is, right? You've probably seen this little acronym before. Can you read that? False evidence appearing real. Fear. False evidence appearing real. Fear can be a very real thing in our lives, in my life, in your life. Doubt and fear are some of the enemy's greatest tools. And so we need to confront the battle of our mind. There are times when we enter into situations and make choices that bring a lot of turmoil into our minds. And that's the work of God. That's the work of the Spirit of God in our life. And we can't just throw that away. And yet as we accept that and as we allow God to work in our lives through that, we need to lay those things down. And it's so easy for us to begin to go back and pull back and to think about and stew over again that which was. And we become unstable. We become unhealthy. We have fears that are very real, but they are not grounded on truth and fact and reality. And so we can get lost in the swamp of fear and doubt. One man said it this way: either your faith is removing a mountain, or your fear is creating one. Either your faith is removing a mountain, or your fear is creating one. Confronting the battle of the mind, either your faith, thinking about those things that are true and right. And I read Philippians 4, verse 8. Thinking about those things that are true and right. I don't know about you all, but I wouldn't want to have a monitor that pops up here right above my head and it's just scrolling across every thought that's running through my mind right now in real time. I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't be okay with that. And I think you can understand that. I don't know that any of you would be okay with that. Thinking about those things that are true and right, because it's we deal with so many thoughts, and sometimes I just like to put my mind in neutral. Just sort of stop it for a little bit. At times we think too much about ourselves. At other times we berate ourselves. And they're both the same. It's still all about myself. But so many times I don't know what chunk of the bandwidth of my mind is consumed with that part of our thoughts. What about this about me? What about that about? How does that affect me? And how do I feel about that? And what are my thoughts about that? And so on we go. And then we think about each other. And we wrestle with each other. Is it wrong? No. But we think about the influence. We think about the instruction. We think about the... And so there we are. We think about each other. We think about things that concern us. We think about things that bless us. I do think one of the blessings that we have is one of the most powerful tools for our mind is thinking on things of God. It grounds us again. And I know what it's like to be busy. I know what it's like to hardly seem to have time to sit and read and study and muse over God's word. I mean, I have used the this tool of the audio, and that has been a blessing to me, to just be washed in my mind by the word of God, to hear it. In fact, it almost I find that because it's so hard to discipline your mind to keep it on track with reading that phrase and that verse and that chapter through, sometimes another voice pacing you can be helpful. I'm okay with us using whatever tools that we have available to us to help us. Another thing that I've been blessed with, and there was a day when I would come home and somebody would put on a some music, a CD, and I would go, "Oh, wow, that's great." You know, I just never get to listen to any singing because I don't carry CDs. I'd given up on that a long time ago. They just get scratched so badly, and you'd have one that you'd wear out by listening to it too often, and those kinds of things. And so finally we downloaded some all of what we have into the digital form, and oh, now you can just plug in. And I'm just saying that as you go out and about, I have found a blessing. I need crutches, I guess is what I'm saying. But I have found a blessing when I can just sort of play some godly music and be lifted up in my spirit and stabilized in my thinking. And it's very helpful in facing the battles of life. It's very helpful. I'm sure there's more than one way to do that. Singing yourself is another way to do it, and I do that as well. I like to sing. But it's all about confronting the battle of the mind. One of the things that we need to understand is that there is a battle here. It's a very real one, and it will affect and shape who you are and how you respond and how useful you and I can be before God. And may God help us. Thinking about those things that are, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report. How many of us can mull over a bad report for a good part of a day? It seems to gain more traction in our mind than the good report, doesn't it? And so easily it can affect how we view our life, and it can affect our place, our ability to handle the life and the challenges that are coming towards us. The final thought that I have under this point is be convinced of who we are in the kingdom of Christ. And I already read that verse, I believe. Now I'll read those verses. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Be convinced of who we are in the kingdom of Christ, more than conquerors. And so we do well to bring that kind of, those kind of thoughts, those kind of truths, those kind of realities into our minds and be anchored in that. And the battle of the mind is won on truth. The battle of the mind is won with fact. It's so easily to allow the feeling and the of the situations that we are in to turn our minds into pulp. And yet we must come back to the facts of who we are. The next point that I have in taking the kingdom of God by force when we, yes, withstand the flesh. Anybody get weary of that battle? Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. Oh, maybe that should have been in the first point. by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I can say those verses by memory. They are in my mind, and yet the translation of them into heart and life, that's where the task is, isn't it? We take the kingdom of God by force when we withstand the flesh. We enter into the kingdom of God by force when we are risen with Christ. I ask this question: do I really desire the freedom of Christ? Do we really desire the freedom of Christ? Do we know what it's like to be free? I can raise my hand to that. I know what it's like to be free. And I praise God for that. And yet I also know what it's like to feel that bondage of that pull. And I also know what it's like to have the smudge of failure. And there it is. But we enter into the kingdom of Christ by force when we withstand the flesh. This is a challenge for each one of us. Sisters, you have your challenges. Young men, you have your challenges. You absolutely do. All of us men, we certainly face this challenge of withstanding the flesh. One of the ways, another point that I'd like to bring out of this yet, as we think about withstanding the flesh, and that is being ready to serve. Being ready to serve. Yeah, you have to withstand the flesh to be a servant. When's the last time you served someone outside of where you could receive likewise? You know, even this morning, and I thought about this. I thought about the fact that there was work to do here. There was a message to prepare. And there was, but do you know, even this work here is serving those from whom I also am served and receive much. And so I decided I need to set that aside. I still haven't really withstood the flesh too much in this thing of serving. When's the last that we've served someone outside of where we could receive likewise from them? The point that I think we should just understand from this is that we need to be ready to serve. We take the kingdom of God by force when we are willing servants. When we're willing servants. The third point this morning I'd like to look at is this one. Stand strong in the face of pressure. We take the kingdom of God by force. This is what it looks like in our lives today. This is how it plays out. As we have reached out and entered in, we take it by force when we stand strong in the face of pressure. And that took me to Ephesians 6, and I'll just read those verses, 13 and 14. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I don't know how the rest of that all goes. But it's the armor of God. Standing strong in the face of pressure. Anybody face any pressure this week? This doesn't need to be an interactive service, but I would assume that most of you could raise your hands. We face some pressure. We know what it's like to feel pressure. The pressure to draw back. The pressure just to step back. And yesterday, some of the men at the landscape center ordered in Chinese food. And, you know, you get those little wafers that you can open up. I didn't have any of the food, but there were some of those wafers laying there. I'm like, huh, wonder what this one says. So I picked it up, broke it open. And here's what it says. This is what I remember it saying. In my own words, it says this. If you wish to be a light, you need to be okay with the burning. I was like, oh. That is so true. If you wish to be a light, you need to be okay with the burning. You okay with the burning? The pressure to draw back. pressure to run from the burning, the pressure to give in. Dads and moms, fathers and mothers, are you okay with standing? Young people, are you okay with standing? Standing? And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Church, are you okay with standing? There's pressure. There's pressure that comes at us. There's pressure in so many ways. There's pressure to compromise. There's pressure to change. There's pressures to move. There's pressures just to give up. There's pressures to give up. And this morning, we're called to stand. Stand therefore. Take it by force. The violent shall take it by force. The pressure to draw back. The tree that stands the tallest gets hit with lightning first. And so when you stand, you're already preparing for the strike. You already understand the pressure, the push, the maybe accusations or insinuations that might be made about you for standing therefore. I think about the pressure that comes at us in so many ways. This is not a child training message, but not so long ago, our youngest, I suddenly discovered he was putting a lot of pressure on our meal times. It was sort of one of those things that was growing, but it had developed into, suddenly it's like, whoa, this is a problem. And so we withstood it. And it's not so much about exactly when you start to withstand it, but that it's about when you do that you stand. And so we have stood. And God's blessed that effort. And we can just apply that to so many areas of our lives. There's so many times, and I guess I'm discovering this as I get just a little older, and suddenly I realize that I'm going to have to stand. And I don't really want to, because it's when the lightning can come. And you realize you have to stand. And so you're left to stand. Stand strong in the face of pressure. Brothers and sisters, it's how we take this kingdom by force. The fourth point that I have is understand the cause. We take the kingdom of God by force when we understand the cause. And this is a whole message in and of itself. But turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm just going to make a few observations. Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 14 says this, for this cause, it's a lot of verses, understand the cause. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you ward, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as it was wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and so on. Paul talked about Paul's burden here. Paul's heart was that there would be understanding and eyesight into revelation of this mystery and the love of God through Jesus Christ, understanding the cause. Paul talked about also about pressing towards the mark for the high prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so I ask us this morning, what is our cause? What are we pressing into? Well, it's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what this Bible says. And what all does that mean? You know, I had the privilege this week of being in New York City on Friday, and I spent about 4 hours longer than I intended there. And so as I was spending some time, I walked into a little deli store, so happened to be run by Muslims. And the young man that was taking care of me, he had fairly good English. There was another man who was there as well, who was sort of off to the side. But this young boy, he must have been, I really thought he was in his, 14 years old, is my guess, or younger. And I just was impressed as I interacted with him for a little bit, and I looked at him, because he hadn't really looked at me. He sort of did his thing, and I just looked at him as I paid my money, and as he gave it back to me, I looked in his eyes, and I just saw a blackness and a darkness there. And I realized that here it is. This is the kingdoms. And I've entered into the kingdom of God and of light and of Christ. And there's this kingdom of darkness. And as I was there, here comes the Jewish couples up the sidewalk. And dressed so simply, just so modestly. It's impressive. And yet there they were. Some of them had the hair locks and the tassels and everything. And then you see the Chinese and the Hispanics, and as I said, the Muslims. And you look at it all, and I realized that here is where, it's in a place like this, where you begin to catch a little glimpse of those end times. And how that it's in those places that I believe there'll be the great movements that will come out, even greater than they are today. You see those uprisings, you see them coming on. And suddenly you see just a little bit more clearly the kingdom of light and darkness, the kingdom of Christ. Understanding our cause, we seize this kingdom by force. What is your cause? I realized that in that moment, one of the things, as I viewed the Jewish friends and as I viewed this Muslim young man and others, I believe one thing that understanding the cause does, it gives us compassion for those who are outside the kingdom. It gives us compassion for those. It gives us a passion for the causes of the kingdom. The cause doesn't end in my life with me being a part of this service, coming here to be fed, or at the very least, because I know that this is a good and a right thing to do. The assembly this morning is not an end itself, but rather it's a means to accomplish an end. And the means to accomplish, the end that is to be accomplished by this means here this morning, is a passion for the kingdom of Christ, a compassion for those who have not entered into this kingdom, and a love for others. It is to serve God in this kingdom and further his cause. And I don't know how to always do that, because you can't preach to every person you meet. But certainly, they understand. They begin to get a message when they realize that you don't enter into their excess. You don't enter into their language. You don't enter into their worldview. You don't enter into, it's one of the ways in which we can be bringing light into these situations and opportunities that we have. Certainly there are many times when we must and we should share a word for Christ. Understanding the cause. The violent take it by force. These are not lazy wishes or cold endeavors, but rather they're active. They are not lazy wishes or cold endeavors that will bring men to the kingdom. It's not a lazy thought. It's not sort of a light attempt, but rather seriousness, being convinced of a cause, understanding the choices ahead of us. And that takes me to our last point, number 5. We are convinced of the end that we want. We're convinced of the end that we want. Matthew chapter 25 talks about an end. I don't have time to turn there. I think you know the account where Jesus talks about the choices that were being made. He says there, where the man was given responsibility for his talents, for the gifts that was given. And God blessed this one man and said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's found there in Matthew 25. But also, towards the end of that chapter, we have this dividing of the sheep and the goats. Turn with me to Revelation 22. One of the things that we have going that oppose us in our lives here today. This is my last portion of scripture. Let's look at this briefly. One of the things that opposes us is the fact that our lives are pretty comfortable. I talked about the battle of the mind. I talked about a number of different things this morning, but we have been blessed with many soft and cushy things. I know that there's going to be some food at the house. There's a place where all of our stuff's at. We have very comfortable accommodations here. Our vehicles are waiting for us, gassed up and ready to go. I don't know what else to say. We have so many things that we can hardly... I don't think we hunger enough for what we see here in Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. It could make you feel any difference if one of your biggest struggles was even getting some pure water. We can get it so easily. Thank God for that. But do we thirst at all? Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street and on either side of the river was there trees of life, which bear 12 manners of fruit, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, no need of candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants his things which must shortly be done. And we could go to other places here in this Revelation to see the worship scenes of heaven. Are we convinced of the end that we want? Can we keep that in our minds? Can we lay aside the distractions and the good efforts that we must make to provide and the many good things that we do, noble and right? But can we keep our eyes clear on the end that is to come? That is to come. And I do think one of the things that God is doing is he is sending us messages in the uncertainty of the times, in the upheavals of the times, in the natural disasters of the times, and there is a growing uncertainty among humanity about how this is all going to play out. I pray that that helps us to become more clear on knowing and seeing this end. God, I think, is giving that to us. Well, what we want in the church today is violence. Not against each other, but violence against death and hell, against sleepiness and reckless living. That's what we're looking for. I mean, that's what God's looking for. God told Joshua shortly after the end of Moses' life, he said, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. He said it three times, real close together. God's saying that to us today. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. May God help us as we all face the conflict of this week. Take it by force. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we kneel before you here at the close of this service. And Lord, we have been blessed in so many ways. We thank you for this assembly. We thank you for your love and your mercy to us. And we thank you for your word, that we can be nurtured, that we can be established, that we can be grounded. Lord, you know how wavery and weak we can become. You've known our steps in the past. And Lord, you also know our steps in the future. And we pray, oh God, that each one of us here would be found faithful. We pray that we would be able to withstand and stand. I pray that you would help us to put on this armor. Help us to put on the armor. Help us to walk in truth, even when we know that others aren't watching. Lord, forgive us for where we have failed. And so we give this service to you, this message to you. May your will be accomplished in our lives, and may you receive the honor and the glory. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. After the song, Brother Lyndon, we'll just ask you to come here to the front. Any comments you wish in closing prayer?